Last year for our learning tour to Palestine and Israel, Gwen Gustafson Zook compiled a number of songs for our group to sing during our 2 weeks together. She included several Kyries, telling us that Mary Oyer had once said that any songs or prayers for peace must include a good amount of Lord have mercy, Kyrie eleison. Prayers for peace without our owning the problem sound hollow and lack integrity. So, in that spirit, I'd like you to turn now and sing the story to number 68 and sing this Kyrie. Sing it now and keep your books open. We'll stop, pause, and sing it a couple times in the middle of my talk as well. This first time we'll sing it three times through. Start with the altos singing the melody, then the men come in, and then everyone else. Thank you. Now, in our household, we have a cat named Kyrie, so we sing that song a lot, actually. In 1920, a group of Anabaptist Christians came together in the basement of Prairie Street Mennonite Church in Elkhart. This is true. Because Mennonites in the Ukraine were suffering, ravaged by civil war and hunger, they cried out to North Americans for help. So, in my mind's eye, this group of men, and yes, they were all men, who came together from different Mennonite churches, some of whom had split apart from each other, they sat in a circle and they had this conversation. Brother Levi, I hear you take minutes of church meetings. That sounds very worldly to me. Well, Brother Ori, I can't understand how you let your women wear those coverings with the long ribbons that dangle down so suggestively. Oh, what's next, earrings? Well, speaking of suggestive, Brother Clayton over here, his church allows musical instruments in the worship service. We all know what that leads to, liturgical dancing. Of course, some elitist historian might accuse me of promoting alternative facts. And although I poke fun at what seem like silly differences to us now, I'm sure the divisions in 1920 felt just as large and painful as our divisions do today. But despite the differences, the people in the room were able to agree that they could work together to alleviate the suffering of their brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. And so they formed the Mennonite Central Committee, an awkwardly named organization whose mission still harks back to that conversation, bringing together Anabaptist Christians from different traditions to do the work of relief, development, and peace in the name of Christ. Today, MCC in the U.S. gets official support from a coalition of six Anabaptist denominations: Brethren in Christ, Mennonite Brethren, Conservative Mennonite Conference, Fellowship of Evangelical Churches, formerly Evangelical Mennonite, Beachy Amish, and Mennonite Church USA. In addition, we get strong individual and congregational support from Amish, various Plain Mennonite and Ivana churches. Of these supporters, Mennonite Church USA, our denomination, is by far the most liberal. I know, Kyrie eleison, right? Yet, as I get to know our supporters, the thousands of Amish and conservative Mennonites who faithfully process and can meet year after year, the women of many traditions who organize comforter bashes, the donors who give so generously, the Beachy Amish, Brethren in Christ, and Mennonite Brethren board members grappling openly and with great compassion about how to keep this coalition together, I sense a spirit that what unites us is much bigger than what divides us. Just a couple of weeks ago, during a meat canning at the depot, a pastor of, I would say, a pretty conservative church said to me, "You know, I don't think the Syrian refugee who gets this can of meat will care what I think about sexuality." I am so glad we're doing this Anabaptist series at Assembly, because I think it's easy to get caught up in the arguments of the day. And my biggest concern with our conflicts in the church is that the way we disagree sometimes, often, sounds like the arguments in the society around us. And although today's topic, reconciliation, is the center of our work, would suggest an outward focus on reconciliation work around the world, we clearly have some reconciliation work to do within ourselves. As Carl said so well in his post-election sermon, our society is in the grips of a demon called polarization. And unfortunately, the church has not avoided the demon. Additionally, as someone oriented towards the peace and justice end of this work, I have come to appreciate the other two legs of this Anabaptist stool: Jesus as center of our faith and community as center of our lives. As we hear the stories of refugees, immigrants, and even legal residents being turned away at our borders, many of us are outraged and angry. These are good emotions to pay attention to and can spur us on to good deeds. But here's the deal. We're barely 2 weeks into this administration. For those who are counting, there are 206 weeks to go. How are we going to have the energy and the stamina and maintain our mental health to do the work of reconciliation for this long haul? I would suggest that one answer is keeping those centers of Jesus and community, not leaning only on the leg of reconciliation. In my own life, I have increasingly realized my need to be grounded in Jesus, to have daily practices of meditation and prayer that remind me that I and the people I meet are beloved children of God, and also to be supported and held accountable by community. Last week, there was a suggestion that we learn from Gandhi and others who have done this work, which I think is very wise. One of my heroes as well, and someone I think of with reconciliation, is Desmond Tutu. And I heard a quote from him about how he has learned to pray, which I like. And he says, "I'm learning to be quiet in the presence of God. Like when you sit in front of a fire in winter, you are just there in front of the fire. And you don't have to be smart or do anything. The fire warms you." And I think that image of being in the presence of God is really helpful for me. I also think we have people in this congregation who have experience with this work and how we do it over the long haul. For second hour, I asked a panel of folks to talk about their work in reconciliation and how they sustain themselves in it. So I can't wait to hear what they have to say. For the last few years, the leadership of MCC has chosen a verse for all MCC staff to focus on. This year, the verse is the passage from Matthew 22 that we heard. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." It's a good verse for Anabaptist Christians, but what does love look like in practical terms? In his interview, on being, John Lewis talked about how the civil rights movement met weekly, every Tuesday night at 6:30 at a small Methodist church in downtown Nashville. They met to practice nonviolent resistance, to role play, to sing, and to pray. Before any marches or sit-ins, they grounded themselves. Part of the practice in role play was to maintain eye contact, to make the other person see your humanity, but also to remember the humanity of the other. Lewis said, "The movement was love at its best. You beat me, you arrest me, you take me to jail, you almost kill me, but in spite of that, I'm still going to love you." And he went on to say this, "We, from time to time, we would discuss, if you see someone attacking you, spitting on you, you have to think, years ago that person was an innocent child, an innocent little baby. And so what happened? Something go wrong? Did someone teach that person to hate, to abuse others? So you try to appeal to the goodness of every human being, and you never give up on anyone." I find that amazing, knowing what John Lewis has gone through in his life. Another thing he said, be a pilot light, not a firecracker. Let's sing our Kyrie again. Men start out.
Kyrie.
Many of you heard Amala Pulyuk Shank, my colleague, MCC Area Director for Europe and the Middle East, when she was in Goshen last month. She directs our program in Syria and Iraq, where MCC is engaged in the largest response in our history. We partner with Orthodox, Evangelical, and mainline churches, along with non-governmental organizations that serve many Christians and Muslims in the area. Our partners give food, shelter, heaters, other basics to refugees. They provide education for children and trauma healing training. Amala told how in one area, Muslims and Christians worked together to feed 6,000 families. Last year, extremists entered a village in that area, planning to destroy a Christian church. But when they opened the doors of the church, it was full of Muslim men. They were there to protect the church because they had relationships with the Christians who worshiped there. Think about that. Muslims risking their lives to protect a Christian church. And as Amala pointed out, this is a relief program. We're just there to provide food to people. But it becomes a ministry of peacemaking and reconciliation, because it brings neighbors together, working side by side and sharing with one another to the point of risking their lives for each other. Last summer, I spent a week in Kentucky working with our SWAP program, sharing with Appalachian people. MCC has a 50-year presence in this place, a place that has long relied on jobs in the coal industry, jobs that have been drying up for many years. These are some of the poorest counties in the U.S. I went along with a group from Aluminum Trailer Company in Napanee, a company that has generously provided the opportunity for its employees to serve in this way. The group included 3 Amish participants, 3 factory workers from non-Mennonite background, and myself. And we worked at the home of May Taylor. Her young adult son, Josh, worked alongside us when he could get away from his job at the local grocery store. In Josh, I sensed a young man with a strong work ethic and an eagerness to learn, but little opportunity. And I'm sure that by working alongside Amish and English factory workers, as well as Josh and May, I learned and benefited from the experience more than anyone. Despite our differences, I sensed a mutual respect and an understanding that circumstances can affect us, but don't have to define us or make us victims. We were human together, Amish and English, blue-collar and office worker, Appalachian and Hoosier, Republican and Democrat. We recognized our common dreams and values. Even in our fundraising, I see opportunities for reconciliation. This year at the relief sale, Helen Glick did a brilliant thing. As chair of the quilt auction, she asked several people from Assembly to help out, including me and Marshall King. There were folks there from Yellow Creek and Clinton Frame and various playing groups. A Whistler Mennonite woman in a covering came up to me and Marshall as we were hanging quilts and said, "Did you know they don't bury Amish men with their beards?" So Marshall and I kind of looked at each other. "No," she said, "they bury them with a shovel." So that kind of interaction, I'm not sure that like typifies it, but anyway, my colleague Les Gustafson-Zook works with a lot of relief sales, and he's pointed out that those relief sales are one of the few places, and they happen all over North America, one of the few places where Anabaptist Christians from different groups come together and work. And so that is a real ministry of reconciliation, I think. Working together to do work, support work that aligns with values all of us hold deeply. Now, I do think we do good work, but we have warts as well, and it's important to acknowledge them. It's troubling to me that some of MCC's signature work was resettling Mennonites to Paraguay in a way that displaced indigenous people. And Vincent Harding, a former Mennonite pastor, African-American, who Sojourners magazine called the man who wrote Martin Luther King's most dangerous speech, a speech denouncing materialism and the war in Vietnam. Somehow we weren't able to support Brother Vincent in the early days of the civil rights movement, and he didn't call himself Mennonite at the end of his life. We still have a long way to go in our work on racial reconciliation. Let's sing our Kyrie again.
Kyrie.
So my daughter, Elisa, heard me say that I would be talking about reconciliation today. I didn't know this children's time was going to be happening, so the punchline was kind of, you've heard it. But she said to me, "Well, we talk about that a lot at church." And I said, "Oh, good. I'm glad you hear that. That's a good thing for us to talk about. But what does reconciliation mean to you?" So she pondered for a minute, and then she said, "Well, you wreck things because you're silly." And I have permission to tell that story, and you have permission to laugh, too. So, but the truth is sometimes we are silly. We people, we Anabaptist Christians. But it gives me hope when the work we do doesn't divide down the typical fault lines of conservative and liberal, or at least when people can express disagreement but still want to work together. As an example, MCC issued a statement in response to the president's executive orders. You can see part of it in the assembly line. We got an email from a constituent, well, a number of emails, one in particular strongly criticizing the statement, but the email ended, "I'm appreciative of the many good works done by MCC. Since the election, I've been heartened by the groundswell of interest by local congregations in welcoming our immigrant population. There will surely be theological differences among these people who want to welcome the stranger. But can we still come together to uphold the dignity of undocumented people in our community? I think we can. Some of our more conservative congregations support prison ministries, and I've sensed an openness to hearing about racial injustice in our criminal justice system. What would it be like for a congregation like Assembly to work with some of these folks to support people in the prison system as they're transitioning out of the prison system back into society? Last year, in an Illinois church that had undergone a painful church split, the women from both groups got together to make pies for the Illinois relief sale, as they had been doing for years. I think this is reconciliation work at its best, where relationships and serving others and serving Jesus override theological differences. I hope it will continue. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Kyrie.